Please do be seated. So, we'd looked at the three great reasons as to why we should be really excited about what the Bible can provide us with and the kind of reference book it is for our lives. Now, if you want to read many more reasons why, then you simply need to open your Bible and start reading it. As the picture says on here, I don't think I've got control anymore of that, so that's okay. The picture that I had said that the Bible is meant to be bread for daily use and not cake for special occasions. Now, I might be wondering, isn't this all a bit over the top? How does this all work? Now, the psalmist who was writing this obviously was writing it before the New Testament came along and before Jesus came along. Now, he didn't have all of God's laws on a scroll that he kept in his cupboard for safekeeping, and he didn't know all of these laws off by heart. But that's not to say that knowing the Bible isn't of great advantage to us. And he certainly doesn't mean that he's going around beating people over the head with a Bible. No, it means he's soaked himself in the ways of God. It's that he knows his Bible well enough to know that it's right. In verse 8, if we go back to the Good News Bible translation again, the laws of the Lord are right, and those who obey them are happy. And this is the real reason why we can celebrate the Bible. Its message revives us. It gives us a new way of seeing the whole of life and brings us deep and freeing forgiveness. Now, you might wonder why I've got a picture of the Cayley up on the screen at this point. This is just one example of how we can join the celebration and ensure that we pass on what we have found in the Bible. Many of us last week experienced the energy and fun that we had when we were able to share doing an activity together as one. And it's in these moments that we can share the Word of God with those that are around us. We're now going to just spend a moment or two at the end of the service praying for these different events that are going on through the week. If you just turn to the people around you for about 2 minutes and just remember in your prayers all the different groups that we've got going on and ask for ways that you'll be able to share God's word with either these groups or with the people that you meet through the week. These are just prompts. Feel free to kind of go where your prayers lead you. If you just take 2 minutes just to pray over it, and then we'll close after that. I had the pleasure of spending some time with the Cubs, and Archie's already come up to me. Why have you got your thumbs up, Archie? Archie's already come to me this morning to ask me, are we going to do this activity we did again next week? And I said, well, no, it's half term, but we might well do. And part of the activity that we did was getting people to talk about what activities they liked to do. So Archie loved going walking in the countryside and going climbing. Now, I think it would be great to just take a moment to think about what activities we each enjoy. It might be something you enjoy doing regularly, like going for a meal with family or friends, or going shopping and spending far too much money. Some people may like to spend Saturday afternoon watching Stoke lose 2-0 at home. Of course, that might happen as well. He's just turned my microphone off. Or maybe you might like to share something special that you love doing in the summer. It might be going surfing by the beach or going on a plane over to France or something like that. If you just turn to the same people you turned to earlier to have a little pray with them about the missionaries, if you just tell them what you love to do, what activities you love doing, whether it be now or in kind of the summer holidays or something, just for one moment.
What do you like to do now?
I like to go to the
So I'm sure you've all had great moments there sharing about these amazing activities that you love to do. I don't know if anyone's got anything really weird they'd like to share, anything really strange. Nick said he likes going to Doctor Who events, which isn't strange. It's not strange, but Yeah, okay, we'll leave that. Our theme throughout this morning has been the imagery found in Psalm 19, which begins by celebrating the wonder of creation. And there's absolutely every reason for us to enjoy all kinds of things that we've just been thinking about, whether it be football or going surfing or whatever. But more than that, though, when we're doing these things, we're actually celebrating God. And we're actually joining God in his celebration of the wonderful world that he's provided. But Psalm 19 goes on to say something even better than all of that, even more amazing and wonderful. Even the glory of the sky or the mountains is only the warm-up act for what is to come. The psalmist tells us, the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Or, in the Good News Translation, or the Children's Bibles that you've got there, it might well say, the laws of the Lord are right, and those who obey them are happy. Now, I don't want to be judgmental here, and nor am I wanting to encourage materialism, but if you were to think of a certain metal that might make a lot of girls, or boys, of course, very happy if they received it for Christmas, what might that metal be? I'm gonna ask someone a bit younger than you, Kieran. Can you think what a really precious metal might be? No? Okay. Go for it.
Platinum.
Platinum. That's a very precious metal. It's a very precious metal. That was exactly the answer I hoped would come up. But I'm looking for something maybe a little less precious than that then. Kieran. Gold. Gold. Absolutely right. Now, to help us appreciate just how amazing it is that God has spoken to us, verse 10 then says that they are more precious than gold. So the words of God are more precious than gold, than much more pure gold. Now, golden jewellery has always been a prized indicator of wealth or how much money you might have or your status. And like the glittering earrings and earrings that you might have, the exquisite necklaces and frocks that you might wear on a red carpet, or even the crown jewels that the Queen sometimes adorns, it's like they're all treasured and valuable. And a beautiful engagement ring provides the promise of love and fidelity. So all of these things are important kind of items to us. But like a golden gift that will last a lifetime, this is what kind of the psalmist is saying to us, that God's word is exactly like a golden gift, and yet it's even better than a golden gift. It's the privilege of knowing of something of God's mind. Now, I'm really sorry, I'm missing a page of my notes here. So this is a new thing for me. And then it goes on to say in the second part of that verse that the words of God are sweeter than honey from the comb. Now, I don't know, have you ever had a crunchy bar? Have you had crunchy? Do you like crunchies? Yeah? Do you like crunchy McFlurries? Yeah? So the words from that, they're saying that these are just so much better. God's word is so much better than the taste of a crunchy McFlurry. So now we're moving on to kind of what the main points from this little passage are. The picture hasn't come up very well, but the picture behind there is of a coffee shop. Now, who here has ever said that I need a coffee after a long trip shopping? I'm sure many people have said that. Whether it be Costa, Nero, or Starbucks, that's your choice, not mine. But a more appropriate one might be Cafe Revive from Marks and Spencer's, when we're thinking about what the psalmist has told us about in the Bible. Verse 7 has told us that God's word revives the soul. And that doesn't mean just the spiritual part of us. It means the whole translation means it gives us new strength. The second point is that God's word enlightens the eyes. Now, I'm sure many of you have seen the Specsavers advert where he's got the cat, or what he thinks is the cat, on the table. I've seen a few people with their faces lighting up at this point. And he's got this thing he thinks is a cat on the table, and he's checking for the pulse, and he can't hear the pulse. And so the woman then comes in and says, oh, that's my hat, and puts it on and walks out, and it says, you should have gone to Specsavers. Now, it was quite funny the first time I watched that, and it's quite persuasive in its argument that it can help restore vision for people that might struggle to tell the difference between a cat and a hat. And yet, even with the best glasses, most people don't actually see clearly. Most people will marvel at creation, but they often don't see what's really good and worth celebrating in their lives, what's worth holding on to, meaningful and fulfilling. And quite often we can get confused by all of the things that are going around in the world. What values should we live by? What will give us a fulfilled and flourishing life? Is the fulfillment we look for to be found in all of these adverts we see on TV? And is the best answer necessarily the most appealing advert? Now, I can't answer all these questions as quickly as I've got time for now, but I can at least direct you towards the answer book. And the answer book is sitting right here. It's a Bible, in case you can't see it at the back. What the Bible can do is nourish us with a godly and real worldview. This helps us to see the deceptions in all of the people and the adverts and the things that seek to offer us this or that as the answer to all of our problems. And even more vitally, the Bible helps us to recognize that our worth is not in possessions, but is in being loved by God. So far we've seen that the scripture can revive us, and it can help open our eyes to see ourselves and our world more clearly. But there's even more than that. Forgive my hidden faults. The Bible uses all kinds of pictures to help us understand and feel the difference which God's forgiveness makes, such as washing and cleansing. If you think about a time that you were really hot and sweaty, or maybe if you love going surfing, you had sand stuck beneath your toes. The Bible is trying to tell us that being forgiven is liberating and restorative. It can help cleanse you from the inside. But here it's going even further than that. It's saying that it might be like you're unwell, and you go to the doctors and you're not really sure what's up with you. You've only gone there to find out what is the problem. You can't diagnose yourself. You go there and they might say that you've got a deficiency or an infection, which unbeknown to you is dragging you down and sapping away your energy. Now, this is like the doctor prescribing to you the correct treatment and the problem clearing up. You might then come away from it saying, I feel like a new man, I feel like a new woman, I've got so much more energy, I can enjoy life so much more. And these are all true of the forgiveness we find from God. It's such a wonderful relief to know that all that you might despise about yourself and all that damages you and that blocks off your relationship from God can be dealt with. And what joyful freedom real forgiveness can bring. And this leads on to knowing that God is our personal refuge and redeemer in verse 14. We're now going to sing a song. We're going to sing There Is a Redeemer, which at this point I think would be a really good way. There'll be a little bit more afterwards as well. But this will just help us to kind of draw together a few of the thoughts that we've looked at and to build more on that idea that God is our personal refuge and redeemer. So please do stand.